and welcome back to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This with myself, Jody Sweeten, along with my fabulous co-host,
Celia Behar.
There we go. I should have let introducing you and, you know.
Whatever. We never get this fucking right, and it doesn't matter. And you're still freezing your tits off in Canada, so we're still on Zoom.
Yeah, and they just fell right off. And it's kind of gray, and it looks like it could like get freezing rain, which I've now experienced, and it really sucks.
Wow. Yeah. I lived in upstate New York for like 10 years. So I feel that. I feel your pain, but I also feel the 80 degree weather that Sabrina and I are in right now. And I'm going to go out to dinner with Lisa after this and sit outside.
Well, I'll be home in a week. So then I'll get to experience all the warm.
I'm glad that you're coming home in a week. I've had a shitty week, which, you know, for a multitude of reasons, which has led me to, you know, battle some ragey shit, which we're going to talk about rage on the show today.
Yes.
But I also want to say
of mom rage.
Yeah, mom rage. We also forgot to mention, and it was like two or three episodes back now, that we hit 100 episodes. We've done 100 episodes of this show.
And we didn't even do some lame Instagram picture with the gold balloon numbers.
We fucking forgot. Yeah.
Bummer.
We had some fans remind us, and I shared them in our stories that we'd hit 100 episodes, but we definitely did not talk about it.
Oh, I haven't been on my Instagram for a while. I've been in complete work mode.
I know that because I send you shit on Instagram and it's like unseen. So I'm like, she's not checking.
I haven't checked anything on Instagram, and it's been kind of nice. But no, I definitely am excited that we hit 100 episodes. That's really cool. We've
talked 100 times to a lot of people. 7 people,
right? Our OG Never Nation 7.
Yeah. Oh, Never Nation 7. So you know what made me think of that also is that the very first episode that we did, right, wasn't Nakey Lakey on the very first episode we did? That was the very first one, Trauma Bonded, or second one? I don't know.
I think it was you and I for the first, and then Christine came on for the second.
Well, that episode, it's been 100 episodes since that episode. I told a story about screaming at my kids naked, which we laughed about, but when I did it in the moment, it was me in a blind fucking rage.
Yeah.
And so I felt like it was worth bringing up that we've come 100 episodes. I am actually much better at dealing with my rage now, which I know we'll discuss, although this week was probably like, it was bordering on going back to naked screaming. Just saying, there was.
Ooh, yeah, once you cross the line into naked screaming, I feel like that's you, that's really when you're like, oh, I need to take a step back.
Naked screaming in a bunk bed. Let's not forget there was a bunk bed.
Oh, that's God, the bunk bed. That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all very bad. So at least if I scream naked at a kid on a bunk bed, it'd be Lulu top bunk as opposed to Lulu bottom bunk, you know, full.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Bad view as I screamed at her sister in my blind naked rage.
Oh, man. Well, you and I were talking with Sabrina and coming up with ideas for the episode. And we talked about this and we looked at this article from Vice magazine. Oh, my God. It made me feel so normal and so heard. And also kind of sad that this is an experience that so many moms and women have and that we shame ourselves so deeply for it and don't allow ourselves these moments. And it really eats away at us. So I'm really excited to talk about this today. This week, we're going to talk about something that we hold near and dear to our hearts, our ability to get mad and how important it is to actually express it so that it doesn't eat us up. And I will definitely admit I am not good at that. I am not good expressing my inner frustration and anger until it bubbles over in complete like psychopath screaming rage. Yeah, it does eat me up. It definitely does.
Yeah, me too. And this article, which was very aptly named, it's like I was possessed. Women revealed the deepest, darkest moments of their mom rage. It really, like we said, it struck a nerve with us because, you know, being a mom is really hard. And society tells us as moms that like, we're supposed to just radiate positivity, like do everything all the time, blah, blah, blah. And like, sometimes I fucking can't balance it all because I'm not fucking balancing. I'm falling the fuck apart. Like, I can't do it.
Oh gosh, man, that pressure and that. I remember you and I became friends because we were so honest about like feeling like failures as a mom or feeling like we did something wrong. Also wanting to protect our kids and being so fiercely worried about them. You know what I mean? And then it just all bubbling over and being like, oh my God, I just screamed at them. And like, does that mean I don't actually care? What does that mean? Does that mean I'm a bad mom? Because of course, good moms don't do this because their kids are better behaved. This doesn't happen. And I obviously haven't set a boundary and this, you know, and all this kind of shit. And like you and I bonded because we were just like, dude, no, it's not how it is. And was a big reason that started this podcast was to be like, hey, this shit is hard.
Yeah.
Real hard. And it's gonna get a little fucking ragey.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because I've battled rage, especially since having kids for so long. And I know in part that it's because like the pressure of society that you are supposed to be perfect. And then you're like internalizing all that. I also know like I've struggled with it, as I've talked about in the show, that, you know, my role model as a mom went from zero to, you know, 80 in 5 seconds. Right. Like, there was no real in between. And so I learned to parent that way. And it's like, I do a lot of fucking self-talk now.
Right.
And I will say, you know, in my work, like, I think that's something that moms talk to me more than anything else is like, I felt like I was possessed. I got through. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. It happens. Like, you're not alone. And I think it is that we balance so much like that in your head. It's like you're processing stuff and it's like going on and things. And then when something doesn't go the right way or whatever, or your kid says like the wrong thing, it's like, that's it. That's what you blow, you blow up.
Well, and it, you know, again, it ties into, I think the mental workload and stress that women and society puts on themselves. Yeah. A lot of it comes from that. And so like, there's so many things that feed into this feeling of anger and frustration and whatever, and the need to suppress it, you know?
Yeah.
There was this group of moms in Boston.
You and I need to do this sometimes.
Just right. For 20 minutes, they came together and just screamed at the top of their lungs.
So good.
It's so good. Because sometimes, like, I've screamed into pillows. For sure. Okay.
Remember, like, 2 weeks ago, we were both writing back and forth about that. And you were like, I'm going into my office. I have to go scream into a pillow. I was like, go.
I don't really even remember what it is that I was that ragey about right now. But in the moment, death. It was all fucking bad.
Yeah.
But this was their way of navigating the difficulties of raising children and going to work and, you know, all the chores and all the stuff, while also figuring out how to do it in a fucking pandemic while their kids were home from school. Like, you know, we've talked about before the weight that women carried during the pandemic, particularly, you know, if you want to, I think the video is on YouTube of the moms just screaming, and it totally went viral because people were like, oh my God, yes, I too am screaming in a football field with you.
Yeah, it's so good. Sabrina has a note here and she's right. Like, we should put a part of that scream into the episode.
Turn your headphones down.
But it is worth it because I think that, like, sometimes, you know, just getting that out of you, like getting it out of you in a way that is healthy, it's okay to scream. You know, I say to clients all the time, like, it's okay to scream. It's okay to cry. You laugh, like, to get out, and that's a release. And we have no problem with that. But like, there's this weird judgment on, you know, screaming, or, and not that you should scream at everybody.
Women expressing anger is not as acceptable as men. It's, they're hysterical, they're bitchy, they're, you know, all that, or they don't like being a mom. You know, I mean, I know that's one of the things, I mean, you and I've gotten the hate mail about it before, because we're talk honestly about parenting and how much we love our kids, but hard it is. People are like, well, if you don't like being a mom, then maybe you should. And you're like, dude, that has nothing to do with it. I think every mom would say, I don't plan on leaving. I love my kids, even if I was ready to pull my hair out with them 2 seconds before, because those are my babies, you know? But like, at the same time, we have to talk about the flip side of it, which is that it's really fucking hard to raise a human being. The mom rage started with this writer from the New York Times, Mina Dubin, I think it was kind of started in a newspaper as a term for the unrestrained anger that many women experience during pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond. And man, I got to be honest, I thought when they were like postpartum, I thought it was like a month, 2 weeks.
Same.
You know what I mean? Like, and you're like, oh shit, well, it took 9 months for this being to grow. Like, it's going to take probably about a year for my body to settle the fuck back down. Like, it's been through a major thing.
Right. You can have postpartum depression for up to 2 years.
Yeah.
And I've said this before on the show, and I stand by this. I don't think you ever go back to who you were, like hormone wise and chemically. I don't think you ever go back, regardless of whether or not you had postpartum depression or not. Like something shifts in you. And how would it not? And people expect you to like go back to where you were. I think I was always actually also kind of ragey as a kid. Like I've always had a tough time with anger. It like would like come out, and this just enhanced it.
Right.
In this article, like she said, you know, there was like, you know, moms aren't supposed to, I'm putting that in air quotes, supposed to want to hit our kids or to tear our hair out. We hide these urges because we're afraid we'll get labeled as bad moms. And I think when we hide them and we don't talk about them, that makes it, you know, it confounds the situation and it makes it even like more heightened. And I definitely like thought, oh, when I become a mom, I'll never want to hit my kids because of what I went through as a kid. And listen, I can absolutely 100% see why my mom got to where she would get to and hit us, because I have had to battle that urge so many times. And like I've said before, it's why I never was able to spank my kids. I am very clear, and I've known this for a long time. If I was going to spank my kids out of anger, I will not be able to stop. It will not be a spanking. I will end up beating the shit out of them.
Right.
I can't do it. And that is a rage thing. That is, I get it. Like, before having kids, I would be like, oh my God, how would anyone ever do X, Y, and Z with their kids?
I've been known to throw, you know, a cell phone or two and destroy them in anger. I've been, you know, like,
I remember that.
No. Oh, I'm talking pre-kids.
You've done it with kids too. And so have I.
I did it that one time. And I, like, as the phone left my hand while I was yelling it, so I was like, God damn it. I remember. Oh God, I was so mad. And then I was mad at myself. And I was like, great, now you've lost it, you know. But mom rage, you know, manifests in different ways for different people. And, you know, sometimes it can be.
It manifests as rage.
Exactly. Manifests. And the triggers can be stuff like lack of help and support at home, or trauma, postpartum depression and anxiety. And, you know, the pandemic really exacerbated a lot of those things. I mean, a lot of women have some PTSD, have some trauma history. Yeah. I mean, people do in general, but a lot of moms do. You know, that feeling of being alone and a lack of support and the fear of all of the stuff in the world. And then add on to that, you know, postpartum depression and anxiety and all the, you're held together by like one tiny little bobby pin, basically. You know what I mean? And, you know, look, I mean, being angry is nothing new for moms, always been angry. And I think that moms have always been expected to like keep this pent up pressure in, you know, away from the world. Like that's not something we do. I mean, there's a reason, you know, mommy dearest and things like that. Like if you so much as scream at your kid, you feel like, oh my God, that's it. That's the next step. It's like, you know, no wires.
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the dirt. I do that one a lot. I like that. That's my favorite quote from that movie.
Yeah. When they do express their anger, it comes out, and then the guilt and the shame and the spiral of that only makes it worse. You know, sometimes we have to remember, like, and I have to do this a lot too. Like, I remember that my kids are unique individuals. They are not me. So as much as I look at them as an extension of me, they are a part of me that now exists separately and has their own ideas and frustrations and their anger and their triggers and whatever. And sometimes that's going to piss me off. And sometimes I'm going to piss them off. Like, we're both trying to just get along with another human being.
Well, it's really hard also, I think, as moms to not take things personally. That's with your kids. And that starts like so early on, like, which I don't think I was prepared for, you know, where it's like, you know, my kid wouldn't sleep, you know, colicky, like Harper was colicky and didn't sleep well. And, you know, if your kid doesn't nurse well, like all that stuff, you're like, what the fuck? Like, you feel from the get-go that you're fucking failing. And the rage I remember building up in me then, where I was like, I don't know what the fuck you want from me. And I just felt so overwhelmed a lot of the time. And so much of that, like looking back, and even now, if I can separate it, you know, separate myself from things, like I take things too personally, then I beat myself up, and then that stuff becomes rage. And sometimes I need to like stop myself and be like, should I be? I mean, listen, sometimes it is fucking personal, right? Like my kids have outed themselves as like giving me the finger behind the fucking door. It's that kind of stuff where I'm like, I have to not let it get to me. I mean, I'll be honest. And, you know, Harper had a story up the other day on Instagram, And it was like, you know, my room. And it was just a picture of her room at her dad's house. And I went right to, like, not like, oh, it's good that she's comfortable there and I'm happy she has two spaces. I went right to, she's posting about, you know, her room at her dad's house. What about her room here? Like, I take it and then I get mad and I have to like stop and take a breath and be like, hey, you know what? It's not about you. And it's not personal. She's just living her fucking life. It has nothing to do with me. I don't need to be ragey about it. I can feel sad because, and I remember your words from another show where you were like, you know, as moms who are, you know, divorced, we share custody, we miss 50% of experiences with them because we're not around. And I take a deep breath and like process that and be like, and that's sad, but it's, she's not doing things to hurt me. And I don't have to take it personally and turn that into rage.
And that's hard. Even my mom last night took the girls to our nanny's wedding.
Congratulations, Stephanie.
You know, she said something about like, and granted, this was selfish of the kids. They waited in line for drinks, but didn't get my mom anything.
Right. But their kids.
Right. But all, and, you know, my mom took that really personally. And like, if they did it to me, I would have been like, you little shits. But I know I'm like, you know, I'm trying to teach them to be considerate. But left to their own devices, often they're not. And I, you know, and it is hard. I mean, granted that I like texted them on the side and was like, hey, you guys, remember to like be nice and take care of Grammy and help her out and get her drinks and stuff. Cause like, don't be a dick. So, you know, it is hard sometimes to not take things personally, but you know, I find that like, if I just keep reminding myself, like they're their own person. Ugh, I just finished watching, Pieces of Her on Netflix with Toni Collette. Amazing show. Like there's parts of it where you're like, oh, come on. And Andy, the main character, just makes some really stupid choices where you're like, oh my God, how dumb are you? But brilliant show. And of course, Toni Collette is one of my favorite actresses. Yeah. I just find her so raw and so real. Anyway, there's this scene where she's talking to her daughter, you know, and there's, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but there's a reason that her and her daughter kind of have a big lie between them. Anyway, Toni Collette's talking about not wanting to smother her, but like just not wanting to do it and like wanting the freedom and want, you know what I mean? And like the things that you lose, but the things that you gain and like, how do you make that work? And how do you like, as a mom, how do you depend on your kid? There's a scene in it where she has cancer and or she's taking care of her mom. And Toni Collette's character is so uncomfortable with it. Like she's just so like, I can't lean on my kid. That's not what this relationship is.
Yeah.
And just doesn't want to let her in. And, you know, and it's just there's a couple beautiful scenes that are in the show that really just, oh man, they hit hard. And they're the things that mom rage is about. And one of the other actresses on the movie I'm on right now is talking about Maggie Gyllenhaal's movie, The Lost Daughter.
Yep. Yeah. That's on my to watch list. Yeah.
Maybe I'll even watch it tonight. I don't know. The lead of the story, the protagonist, Lita, confronts the fact that for 3 years while her daughters were young, she abandoned them and said that, you know, refers to herself as kind of an unnatural mother. And Maggie Gyllenhaal said that this project was really important to her because it dispelled that myth of the natural mom. Taking a peek at the like the dark side of motherhood sometimes. And see, here's the thing, this even me feeling like I have to say, but we love our kids and we're like, you know what I mean? It feels like you have to constantly remind people you would change nothing about being a parent. This natural mother thing that you come out and like, and you know, some people just that they are natural moms and they,
yeah, what the fuck does that even mean? Like a natural, I mean, who the fuck is natural at like sticking a boob in another person? You know, well, hold on. Porn stars, maybe. I don't know. I didn't mean that sexually. I mean, yeah, you're feeding a person with your body. If you're doing that, you grew a fucking person. Like, yes, I get it. It's the most natural thing in the world. Oh, by the way, this show's called Never Thought I'd Say This. So I'm going to say for the both of us, never thought we'd be ragey moms. Like we both can be, but I didn't think that.
I thought I'd be like laid back cool mom all the time.
So did I.
Until I'm just like enough and enough and enough. I get pushed to this point where I'm like, and just,
yeah, I guess maybe it does come naturally to moms, to some people. I can't say I've ever met anybody that everything came naturally to as a parent, because every time you think you got something fucking covered, you don't have something fucking covered. Like something changes. And then all of a sudden you're like in a place where you don't know what the fuck you're doing. And Sabrina just said, made a very good point. What the fuck? Why isn't there a concept of a natural dad? I can answer.
We don't find ourselves critiquing dad's parenting all the time. You know what I mean? Like,
not only do we not, can I just say, I got ragey at a commercial the other day, like full on fucking ragey, because Dustin and I were watching a commercial and Dustin was like, oh, it's cute. And I was like, no, it's not. And I got really mad at him and he was like, what the fuck? And I said, this is why it's not cute. So if this is the commercial and it pisses me off, it's a commercial of a dad. It's for a washer dryer set, I believe.
Right.
Maybe it's for detergent. No, it's for a washer dryer. The dad is wearing the baby in a Bjorn.
Right.
He's like dancing around and blah, blah, blah. And something spills or whatever. And he's like doing laundry while he's dancing around. He's got the kid and he's got the whole thing handled.
Right.
And Dustin's like, oh my God, that's so cute that, you know, look, the dad and his baby like dancing around and not, it's all for, you know, laundry or, you know, that Samsung machine or whatever, whatever it was. And I was like, that's not cute. Actually, that fucking pisses me off. And he was like, why? And I said, because if that was a fucking commercial with a mom, that is not what it is. You don't get to see those commercials where it's like the mom's like dancing around with the baby in the Bjorn. No, the mom's fucking haggard and she's yelling and she's put upon and ooh. And it made me so mad because it came back to that whole concept of like when dads post that they've taken the baby to the park or the kids to the park, everyone comments and they're like, you're such a good dad. But if a mom posts, everyone's just like, yeah, you're the mom. You're supposed to be doing that.
Well, yeah, the expectation of suppressing rage, but doing it all.
Right.
Ugh. Back on my feminist bullshit again.
I never leave the feminist bullshit either, but it's not that. It's that the scales are not even. And here's why I think, sorry, I'm going to get like a tiny bit philosophically religion-y, but not really. I know. Bear with me. When you're Jew with me, when you're Jewish, when you're Jewish.
I almost said, oh, Jesus. And then I was like, wait, no.
Jew, so that's fine.
Perfect. Okay.
So, you know, in the Jewish religion, when the mom is Jewish, the kids are Jewish. Right.
Right.
And people ask me about that a lot. Like, why is that?
Oh, because I'm not. So technically B is not.
Right. Technically. So the reasoning behind that is in Judaism, people ask me a lot why that is, because you always know who the mother is.
Of course.
That's why. And that's not, Judaism didn't used to be patriarchal, by the way, like flipped a switch, like Lilith and all that shit. But I think in nature, that is also why so much more is expected of moms, is that like, you always know, you know, allegedly.
Therefore, it's your responsibility.
That's right. Now, obviously, modern times, that's not always true, like anymore.
Right.
So it doesn't really match up. And regardless, like, I don't know, we've evolved in a lot of different ways. Can this concept of moms not being able to like fucking feel anything and not feel ragey and not feel sad and not feel disappointed, even though we fucking love our kids? And I have to say that, like, you've had to say that.
Right.
Can that also evolve, please? Can we?
Well, and another thing, you know, perinatal mood disorders, I really struggled with it. I really struggled with it, but I had no idea.
Yeah, I did. It was bad.
Yeah. And it's a range of mood and anxiety symptoms, from depression, guilt, loss of energy, extreme irritability. And it can, you know, it's during pregnancy or even, you know, up to 1 or 2 years postpartum.
Right.
There are 3 women that shared their stories with Vice in this article. They're super relatable, even if you haven't exactly ever been in a mom rage.
I cried over the first one, by the way, because I feel that hard.
So the first mom, her name is Amrita Saraf. She is a 33-year-old baby sleep consultant who runs a parenting website called Mom Uninterrupted. And she talks about her experience. You know, and I like to point out, like, she works with babies. She runs a parenting website. This is what we're talking about. Right. Reality of it. And, but she talked about her experience and saying, my rage was very frequent. There were a few good days, yes, but the rest was just anger and frustration combined with inexplicable crying and a sense of being overwhelmed. In the aftermath of those episodes, I'd feel horrible, like I'm a horrible mother, wife, and person. I first confronted it when I spoke to a friend who told me to watch my next 3 cycles and noticed the anger peaks during ovulation. So I observed myself for 3 months and realized I'd feel better when my period would come. And then during the ovulation and luteal phases, I'd become angry again. I'd also start feeling out of touch, wouldn't want to nurse my baby, and would want to get away from my family. It turns out it was my premenstrual dysphoric disorder, PMDD. I checked into therapy, which confirmed my PMDD, and my friend and I started with medication and therapy together. And so often women don't get diagnosed. They don't have a friend who's like, hey, you should really like pay attention to this. And it's true. It's just like PMS or whatever, ovulation and luteal phases of your cycle, like, can really fuck with you too. Your hormones are off. Things are different.
Yeah.
But hearing that she went into therapy, she was diagnosed, and her friend went down the journey of starting this therapy and getting themselves together, doing it with each other, the mom village.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you were the one that told me to go back on meds. I mean, I know I've talked about this before when I sang my gabapentin, my old friend song, but you know, first of all, I have PMDD. Perimenopause threw me into PMDD. It's not fun. I don't enjoy it. And like, I had to do the exact same thing. I monitored when it was happening. And my rage feels so unbelievably out of control if I let it get the best of me. Now that I know what it is, it's like way more helpful. And I'm also on some supplements that have been helping. But I remember you saying to me, like, very gently, like, I think it was after like my fourth panic attack, you know, 6 months or so after Julie died, maybe 3 months, I can't remember, but you were like, I think it's time, you know, for you to go on meds. Like, you don't have to do this on your own. This isn't healthy for you. It's not healthy for the girls. You're not functioning the way that you should be at this point. And I needed someone to say that to me.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we do as women to say, like, it's okay to get fucking help, because we feel like back to the beginning, you know, where we're like, we're supposed to balance everything. We're supposed to be this, we're supposed to be that. We're not supposed to ask for help, and help comes in many forms. And sometimes that's fucking medication, and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. The next mom that was in the article, Shreya Baksh. She's a 30-year-old. I'm probably saying these names terribly wrong, and I apologize.
I was just thinking, you're doing such a good job. I would have said that totally different, but I think you're right. So
she's a 30-year-old mother of one who runs a parenting Instagram page and a Facebook support group that focuses on postpartum depression. She describes her experience with mom rage as this. The rage struck within the first 8 months of delivering my baby. Something as simple as my husband not switching off the fan when I'd ask him to would piss me off. I was like a monster. Everything was triggering. It was so hard to figure out how to label this rage too, because before I gave birth, nobody spoke about it, not even my doctor. I didn't know about postpartum depression until I was 9 months postpartum. I soon found some help, and with treatment, therapy, and lifestyle changes, things got better. Now I still get angry, but that rage is gone. There's a difference between the two. Mom rage is like you're possessed or being hit by an adrenaline rush. So true.
Yeah, so fucking true. So let me also say that undiagnosed postpartum depression is so rampant. It is like, sometimes it shocks me that nobody, by the time I get a client and it's, you know, 10 months after birth and they're telling me stuff and I'm like, oh my God. I always have to say, like, you know, are you sitting down? Like, I want to tell you something, you know, because I don't want them to feel like I'm criticizing them, you know, but it's often where I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe everybody has let this go, you know, and often it's also like, people keep telling the person, oh, you just have baby blues. Oh, it's just, you know, it's just the adjustment period. It's just that. No, if you're screaming in your baby's face, like I did once, where I picked up Harper and screamed, fuck you, what the fuck do you want from me? And she was like, 3 weeks old, somebody at that point probably should have said, hey, I think you have, and it came back to me realizing, like, I remembered an episode of Brooke Shields talking about it on Oprah. Yes, it came back to Oprah. It always comes back. I know it always comes back to Oprah, but I think that's something that still you'd think again, but it's like asking for help. It's admitting it also. Women don't want to admit that we're overwhelmed and that you're like supposed to be in this like amazing phase of, I have this new baby and it's so amazing. I don't want to complain. And I should be a natural.
Well, no, you know what? I was going to say, especially when it's your first, but then I was like, no, because when it's your second, you're like, two people's needs I have to meet. And I don't even know if I can do it, you know?
And what worked for the first one doesn't work for the second one. And you're like, like, you know, I remember so much. I couldn't get like Lulu to sleep at times, you know? And it's like one night she would like not have like a really bad night. And I remember being like, it's the pajamas, you know, like everything. It's like, these are bad pajamas, burn the pajamas. Like, you know, like, fuck everything.
Oh God. Yeah. The final mom in the article, Kaveri, is a 29-year-old media professional. She's got one daughter. And she said, I first experienced mom rage around the time my child turned 3, which coincided with the start of the pandemic. Children become really rebellious and they have the words to express their anger. My daughter was particularly vociferous. Plus, I was on work from home mode with no help. Hey. My toddler kept knocking on the door and screaming outside every 30 seconds. And I just lost it. I smacked her on the bottom for the first time ever and locked her in her room. Of course, it lasted all of 30 seconds and I was apologizing and comforting her for the rest of the day. And yeah, I mean, like, you know, you have one bad mom moment and you're like, oh my God, I have to make up for everything I've ever done wrong.
I will tell you guys one of my worst mom moments ever, which actually is kind of fucking hilarious. I don't think I've ever told it on the show, probably because it's probably because it's so bad. It's one of those ones that, like, in retrospect now I can look at it, but you guys, it was fucking bad. So Harper, when she was like probably like three, you know, still in a crib. She, we used to have a crib tent because she would like climb out and fucking run around. Also, we had a cat that would go in the, yeah. So she would take naps. And the way that I would get Harper to take naps was I would usually give her like some books, you know, kid books, and she'd read her little books in her bed and then whatever. One day after her nap, or like during her nap, you know, I heard her like wake up and fart around, and, you know, she was like almost three. And I went upstairs and she had been ripping the books apart. And I don't know why. I think it was that the nap didn't last as long. I was overwhelmed, you know, flipped the fuck out, like flipped the fuck out. So I start screaming at her. I like pull, you know, I'm like screaming at her, pointing at the books. It's like all, they're all ripped up and I'm miserable. And I'm like, I was fucking ragey, like screaming at her in the bed, she's still in the crib. And I walk out the door and I'm like, you are going to sit in here now for, you know, another 20 minutes or however long, whatever I deemed she was staying here. I was mad. And I fucking walk out the door and I slam the door. And when I slammed the door, from the inside of the door was a hook and eye, and the hook fell into the eye. So I'd locked her inside her room with no way for me to get back inside.
Oh no.
And I freak the fuck out. And I like, don't know what to do. I'm calling my husband at the time and he's not answering. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to do. I had to.
Oh boy.
I had to go into the garage, get a fucking ladder, climb up onto my roof with my neighbor outside, like watching me climb onto my fucking roof. Harper crying, being like, mommy, like knowing that she's stuck in her crib and I can't get in. And I'm fucking breaking into my own house. And I had to bust the lock on the window from the outside on my roof, thinking the whole time, this is like my 6 feet under moment where I fucking die. You know, like my kids locked in their fucking room.
My God.
Give me my ass into the window, because it's like old window, and really the only way that you could like pull it up was from the inside, you know, like it's that old. I bust the screen out because I have to pop the screen out of it, and I like soldier rolled into her room. I was like, ta-da! And I was like mortified. I'm like, and she's crying, I'm crying, and I'm just like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, the books don't matter, you're all that matter. But I was like, I'm the fucking shittiest mom ever. Like brick. And then of course I had to like come back out, like was like, hi Suzanne. That was, and she's like, you locked the baby in the, in your bedroom. Like that would happen. And I was like, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
She's like, I couldn't think of any other reason.
I've never heard that story. And I, that's a good.
Well, cause I'm ashamed of it. Like it was fucking terrible.
Right.
You know, it was terrible. Like it was when honestly my rage got the best of me.
You had to crawl on your roof and all shit. No, at the time. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I'm fucking mortified. I was so embarrassed and so ashamed of myself. Like I really was, like that my rage got to a point where I could not even think about the fact, I mean, the logistics of that actually happening, I guess were pretty far fetched, but like it never even occurred to me. I could scare her. I could, you know, I could fuck up the door, any of that stuff. Like I was so in a blind rage that that's why it happened.
Yeah. It's the true testament that tragedy plus time equals comedy.
Meanwhile, now I'm like, what I wouldn't give to lock myself in a room trapped in a crib, like with a crib tent, like so no.
Right. Or have someone lock you and be like, oh damn, I just have to stay in this crib all day. Right. Yeah.
Damn it. But don't you think maybe the rage has to do with the disappointment in ourselves and like the buildup of like.
For sure. And it's, you know, I know for me a lot, it comes from my anxiety. And like you said, it comes when there's a moment where you have everything planned out. And like, how many days do you have everything planned out? Like just yep. One right after another, all of the dominoes have to fall perfectly. And if one doesn't, it fucks up everything after it. And you're like, it took me however long to get this day organized or this week organized to everything. Now I've got a kid puking at home, or now my car's at the shop, or now like
travel plans have to change after booking tickets.
Some of the things that moms and women have to go through, like what if the bus doesn't come? What if this, you know, like all of these fucking things that like push you into that ragey space. And we just want all of the moms out there to know that you're human. You're not a bad person. This has nothing to do with you being a good or a bad mom. you are probably just trying to do it all and trying to do it all well, and you probably need a mental break.
You're not alone in any way whatsoever. No. We're better, I think, both you and I now, about giving ourselves timeouts and telling each other to go give ourselves timeouts. Give yourself a timeout, take that space. Also, what you said about the show you were watching, what was it called? Sorry, I forget the name.
Pieces of Her.
Yeah, on Netflix. Pieces of Her on Netflix, right. The taking help from your kids because the roles can be reversed as they get older. I will say this, and I said this before we started the show, like I had a really shitty week last week. I was ragey and I was sad and I suffered from PTSD. And I had kicked in and I was really honest with my kids so that I didn't take it out on them. Like I snapped at them and then I pulled back and I was like, hey, this is what's going on. And Harper, at one point, like we got home, I got them home from school and, you know, I'm like doing a million things. And Harper came into my room. She said, here, mommy, I made you some toast. And I was like, you don't have to. And she's like, no, I think you just need to eat something. Like you haven't eaten today. I could tell you're really stressed. Like, please eat something. And I said, you know, it's not your job to take care of me. It's my job to take care of you. And she goes, I know that, but I am also allowed to help you when I want to. And I was like, I have to take help from her because I'm also, if I hold to that thing of like, no, you can't take care of me. What am I? I'm taking away an opportunity from her to connect with me and to allow myself to realize that she's seeing me as a person.
Exactly.
And being empathetic and right. Being of service.
You know, we worry about like, oh, am I putting emotional responsibility on my kids? Right. But no, when you're having a bad day, you're having a raging moment, or you're upset and your kid is like, hey, I love you.
Right.
Like that's what we want them to do, right? We want them to empathize and see people as human. And I think we don't unload all of our therapy sessions on our kids for sure. But if our kids see that we're upset and come to help us out, that's okay too.
Well, think about it from a kid perspective. It's like when you knew your mom was having a bad day, if your hug could make her feel better, if you realize that like you helped,
right,
that means a lot. You take that, that's a processing thing where you're like, I can make people feel better when I'm kind.
Right.
You know, so be kind to yourselves and let others be kind to you.
Because I'm sure we're all, I know, at least for me, I'm mean enough to myself. So sometimes you just let other people be nice.
Yeah, I'll be mean to you instead.
Okay, perfect. I mean, it's a weird sort of, yeah, I like it. So
good. We were getting too serious. It just felt like, you know, I tried to...
We'll
call each other assholes and it'll be fine.
But that's the thing. Call me an asshole and not the kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. If you've experienced mom rage, there are awesome websites. There's Instagram. We should put some, put some resources up on Never Thought I'd Say This. Try and find some.
I gotta remember to do that. By the way, I will say, I said this a couple of episodes back and a lot of people have done it, which I was really happy about. You know, we've talked about the Little Mamas and how we're a support group on Facebook. And I said, if you guys were in need and you really felt like you couldn't find your people and you think that maybe Little Mamas is your people, if you curse and you're cool with that and you're not going to be a judgmental dick, then Little Mamas might be up your alley. It is a private secret group. Please send me a message on Instagram on Never Thought I'd Say This. I will probably, it'll take me a while, but I'll eventually get to it. Send me a Facebook request. Tell me why you are doing that. Send me a DM.
Little Mamas.
Little Mamas. And tell me that that's why you're set. You want to be added to the group and I can put you into the Little Mamas. And if you think we're our people, our motto in Little Mamas is don't be a dick.
Yeah. So, that's it. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
But seriously, I want everyone out there to know you are not alone. There are lots of other moms out there and lots of us have these feelings and it's a fucking ride. So thank you guys for tuning in this week. If you want to check us out on Instagram, you can find us at Never Thought I'd Say This. Twitter is at Never Thought I'd. You can follow us on TikTok as well. And if you want to email, it's neverthoughtid@protonmail.com.
If they can follow you at Jody Sweeten and they can follow me at the Celia Behar. And
also check out our YouTube channel, which is me and Celia doing really stupid stunts and challenges and really just showing off our amazing best friendedness.
And me in my underpants, I think twice now. Yeah.
Scream into a pillow if you absolutely have to. Because remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audioboom original.